Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
This show is a proud member of the On Us All Podcast Network.
Would you throw yourself into oblivion to save your friends and family and also the entire galaxy? We are going to explore this question and more in this episode of Systematic Geekology. We are the priests of the geeks, and we have a special episode for you as part of our On Loop series. This has been a bonus series we've been doing exclusively on our main feed, where we look at different examples of time travel. And in this one, this is a fun one because it's a sort of time travel, sort of not, but we're going to get into that. But we are looking at the finale of Star Wars Rebels, and we're specifically talking about Ezra and Ahsoka. So I'm really excited to get into this, but I am one of your hosts, Kevin Schaefer. I am here with fellow geekologist, fellow Star Wars buff, Evan Garcia. Evan, how are you tonight?
It's a good day.
It's a good day, and hey, we get to talk about Star Wars, you know.
Yes, I mean, and, never a bad and time I'm watching Star Wars.
Right? Oh my gosh. As we're recording, Evan and I were just talking about the new Darth Maul series, which we'll be talking about more in depth in another episode. The first two episodes just dropped, and oh, this is peak Star Wars right here. I mean, like, we've been spoiled with Andor season two, and now this, and right. Then we got the Mandalorian movie coming up, but yep. So much Star Wars, but this one is really exciting. I mean, this is a fun one to talk about tonight because with Star Wars Rebels, like, my avatar for the show is Kanan Jarrus from Rebels. So, you know, we'll get into how my, you know, what the show is and, you know, like what it, how it relates to the series. And right, if you want to find out more about the On Loop series, just check out the show notes. You can find the whole playlist there. We got some really good episodes about Interstellar, Cable from X-Men, Back to the Future, some really good stuff there. So, but this one, again, will be the Star Wars Rebels finale. So very excited to talk about this. And so let's get into it. So, Evan, I know, you know, we've talked, you know, Star Wars many, many times, but looking specifically at Rebels and thinking about the series finale, if we had just finished this show, we're sitting on the couch. Evan, what is your reaction to this finale and to the series as a whole?
When it first aired or now?
Let's pretend just now, like you okay. just got out, like I got done with it.
Okay.
And like, but you get it, but I would love to kind of like when it first aired, bring to like aspect of those feelings as well.
If it came out now or probably if I saw it now and I'll be like, dang, I finally saw it and it's a totally worth seeing, you know? So I would have been proud and like to check off a part of the Star Wars bucket list, you know? But when that first came out, I am not gonna lie, I was still bitter that they canceled the Clone Wars. So I would have been like, okay, cool, but give me Clone Wars.
100%. And see, that's the thing about it's an important context for this series because I think for a lot of fans of the animated shows, I hit one of my best friends who has seen every episode of Clone Wars and Rebels, but he watched them after it was all done on Disney Plus, like in the last few years. And so, like, I think there's a lot of fans in that boat, but people don't realize, you know, the history here with the Clone. It all started with the Clone Wars movie that was in theaters in 2008. And then the series started shortly after that, went on for multiple years on Cartoon Network. And then yes, it got canceled. And it got canceled, you know, this was long before the actual final season that they made on Disney Plus years later. Right. That was after Rebels had concluded as well. So Rebels came after the initial run of Clone Wars. And this is before that, you know, final season we got with, you know, Ahsoka and fighting Maul and the connections to Order 66, all of that. That was years later. So it's a really good point. Finish. Rebels came along and it's like, you know, yes. So, I mean, great joke, but it's like, but there was those lingering kind of like, oh, I really want them to finish out this story, you know, and thankfully we would get that conclusion. But we had to wait a while. So, so that Evan, you were a, devoted fan watching it as it aired. For me, I did watch it later. I think I saw like an episode or here and there, maybe in college, of Rebels, like on Disney XD, but then at a certain point, I don't know if we didn't have it or what, but I, you know, I lost track. I'm not able to follow the show there. So then I watched it on Disney Plus, years later, it's one of my favorites. And if you had to kind of summarize the series, and we'll get into the finale specifically, but if you had to give kind of an overview of what Star Wars Rebels is for people who haven't watched it, how would you describe it?
I would say that the Star Wars Rebels, it shows the formation of the Rebel Alliance and how they got organized, but they focus on a small crew, kind of equivalent to Firefly or something like that. And it's a hodgepodge crew that comes together to learn from each other, and they grow and they just so happen start the rebellion.
No, absolutely. The lovable ghost crew, very Firefly-esque, very ragtag group that, you know, for the most part, they're not in it to, especially at the beginning, they're not all idealistic heroes wanting to liberate the galaxy. A lot of them are very thrust into this world, and you know, they're doing missions here and there, but they're not they don't really know that they're going to be this foundation for the rebellion. And that's what I really love about this series, and especially when I'm describing Clone Wars and Rebels to people, is like Clone Wars adheres to, I mean, obviously it's set during the era of the prequels, and it adheres more to that aesthetic and more to that sense of storytelling, because you have you might have an episode that focuses on Ahsoka, then you do another one with Anakin, then you do another with Obi-Wan, then you might meet some, like, you know, wild supporting character that you've never heard of, and it kind of jumps around. With Rebels, it follows more of a core group of characters, and you know, lays the foundation for exactly what would become the rebellion. And so you have Kanan Jarrus, you have Hera, you have Ezra Bridger, who we're going to talk about a lot tonight, and then Zeb and Sabine, you know, everyone's favorite droid, and then Sabine,
Chopper. Favorite war criminal.
Chopper, I mean, right, favorite war criminal droid, you know, no diss to R2 and C-3PO, but Chopper.
That first episode when he kicks that droid out, like, geez, okay.
Yes. Oh my gosh, it's just like, you know, and that was, I mean, one of the biggest, you know, thrills of the Ahsoka live action series was getting to see Chopper in live action.
Yeah.
It was an absolute delight there. So a lot happened. Oh yeah, absolutely. And like a lot happens in Rebels, and you know, we're not gonna be able to get all of it in a 30-minute episode here, but looking at the finale specifically, so over the course of four seasons, we follow the ghost crew. Ezra and Kanan are very much the Luke and Obi-Wan of this series. Mm-hmm. You know, we see them grow. We see, big legacy characters come into play. There's a season where Vader is primary antagonist. They bring Darth Maul back. They bring in Thrawn, which was a big deal because up until this point, Evan, had you read the Heir to the Empire novels?
I read the first
this,
one.
Or was this kind of your main intro to Thrawn?
I never finished the trilogy, but yeah.
Sure. So yeah, it was a big deal to bring a character that iconic that was very essential to the old legacy novels, but hadn't really been introduced in live action or animation up until this point. And so then he became the big bad, and then they brought back Ahsoka because they kind of teased her as the
that
kind of
was
shadow
a
figure,
big one,
and then brought her back at the end
that.
Of season one.
Yeah.
And did you see that coming as far as, like, what was the code name?
Fulcrum.
The
code name Fulcrum.
That they had given her. Fulcrum. That's correct. That's right. So, yeah, they tease that they're as this, like, rebel ally, kind of Fulcrum is teased throughout. And then they finally reveal at the end of season one that it's Ahsoka. Like, Evan, when you were watching it, did you have any inclination that Fulcrum might be Ahsoka? Or was that, a big surprise for
you? Yes. I was like, that's probably Ahsoka. But then back then, the podcast Rebel Force Radio, they took it into their quote unquote sound lab, and they adjusted that a voice transmission, and they slowed it down, and then they kind of tweaked it, and then you can clearly hear Ashley Eckstein's voice that plays as Ahsoka. So they were the ones that kind
that's
of spoiled
pretty
it.
Impressive. Okay. Yeah. Now, granted, I do not have that much time on my hands, but I admire the right? The intense effort there of a podcaster to do that. So that, that is cool. Because this Ahsoka is really important to talk about in leading up to the finale, because so she's in primarily season two. They go on many adventures together. The seeds of the rebellion are being planted, and then at the end of season two. She finally confronts Darth Vader after years and years of not doing it. And like, once she learns that, Anakin has become Vader, and they face off in this epic duel. And this was the big twist for, especially when we were watching this live, when we were like, whoa, did that just happen? And like they make it look like Ahsoka dies in this, in this
duel.
Yes,
I had to go back.
Even if he disappears,
halfway through watching this episode, I was like, wait a minute. What's the whole context for this? Because I felt that I was missing something. So I went back and I watched that episode. And yes, it was a temple started falling apart. And then we kind of didn't know who that was kind of walking away. Was like, was that Ahsoka? Or we really didn't know what happened. So that was a pretty clever storytelling where they went back to it in the final season like that.
That one's pretty wild because it's like the end of season one, they fight an Inquisitor, it's a big epic battle, but it's not like, they may just say, and then Vader is teased at the end of the season, but the season two finale, Maul comes back, he blinds Kanan. We witness what appears to be the death of Ahsoka, but this is where it sets it up as Ahsoka does not die, but in fact, this leads to a later storyline in the final season, where the concept of the world between worlds is introduced. So like, and this is basically a mystical realm where people can use the Force and see their lives from different viewpoints and see all these current different events sort of streamlined together. So this is why we are including this in this series with the On Loop, because I don't know how well I'm explaining this because I love the show, but
it's
like
tricky,
it's a different kind of time travel, and it's a different kind of mysticism here. I don't know. What would you say to that? Because this leads to when Ezra discovers it, and he eventually finds the point where Ahsoka is about to be stabbed by Vader, and he pulls her out of it, and that's how they reunite toward the end of the series.
Right. Yeah. No. It it's definitely one of those things where it's like you don't know if it's it's one of those things where you're like, is it a dream or something? Because around this episode, they were teasing, and a part of the way that they got into this Jedi temple to get into the world between worlds is they had a family from the Mortis arc. And that's a very weird and trippy episode from the Clone Wars. So they kind of went ahead and they used that aesthetic of, we don't know if it's real or not, to give us a Star Wars version of time travel, to where, like you said, where you go to this place and there's these different portals that show you different parts of the Star Wars timeline, I guess. It's a different shatter point, if you will.
Yeah.
From
and
Legends.
It was something also. Yes. And it was something, too, that Palpatine was trying to access and he had failed.
Right.
He was trying to use Ezra to do that, too. That was another big thing that eventually Ezra outsmarts. And then it all leads to with the finale. That's what I teased in the intro, saying like, oh, would you hurl yourself into oblivion to save your friends and family in the galaxy? Because this in the finale, Ezra does make the ultimate sacrifice where Thrawn's army is coming to invade Lothal. Everything is a risk, and especially and Ezra knows if the Empire and Palpatine never gets hold of the war between the world between worlds and crushes the rebellion here, then they're all doomed. And so he takes giant space whales. It's easier to just say that. So takes the space whales and goes with them to take over Thrawn's ship, but he knows that he's not just sending Thrawn away. He has to sacrifice himself and be, as we don't know at the end of Rebels, like, is he dead? Is he still out there? But he essentially disappears from this galaxy and is taken far away so that Thrawn can be imprisoned elsewhere. And that sets up the Ahsoka series, because at the end of Rebels, it's set up as Ahsoka and Sabine will lead the search for Ezra and eventually find him. And that, sets up that series. And so, I know I'm kind of going all over the place. Like I said, Rebels is kind of other than the premise of it being a Firefly Guardians of the Galaxy type ragtag crew in space there, especially in the later seasons, there is a lot of mythology there that was previously unexplored and lore that was unexplored in the Star Wars universe that is kind of hard to explain if you haven't seen it really. So I know I'm kind of jumping all over the place here, but it is fascinating, but Evan, looking at that finale, and all the things that are happening and that big, conclusion of like Ezra's disappearance and then setting up, his eventual search. What were your thoughts on that, when you first watched it? And what do you think about it now?
When I first watched it, I was just like, okay, I can see this. And then when I was first, when I was noticing that they were doing the weird time travel version, a Star Wars version of time travel, I was kind of hesitant. But then when they used it to teach Ezra the lesson that that Anakin couldn't learn, I was like, okay, that's pretty smart to teach a main character what's the heart of the series. I think it's worth the mechanism that they used, even though it's kind of clunky and it's kind of cheating somewhat. But I liked it in the sense that it gave him the confidence to take on Thrawn in that way that he did, and he did it. And the way that he did it was such a... He learned from that moment and from Kanan to let go and to do the right thing usually. So the space wheels are fun though.
I like that. For me, I think, because in time travel in general, I was on the Back to the Future episode. I love Back to the Future, of course, but like I'm not a big time travel fan, because ultimately, it can be very, a cheat sheet, for storytelling, and it's also can be lead to things that are very convoluted. You know, I kind of like more simple storytelling, and I like there to be stakes. I like there to be, you know, legit rules and, you know, a clear logic for how things unfold. So I'm not as big. And, you know, when they first introduced this concept, I was like, okay, that's a lot to take in. And we're not even talking about like the Mortis saga and how that ties in.
Right.
That's a whole another thing.
We
too.
Still don't know much
but yeah. Right, right. And I mean, yeah, there is Star Wars theory and a bunch of other podcasts and stuff, you know, can go much deeper into this stuff. But yeah, I mean, I always love Rebels, though. I mean, I just like the core group of characters so much. But I think, if anything, the finale, there is a lot to be left desired. And, you know, it some of it, I think, plays out well in Ahsoka. Some of it doesn't. You know, I guess one of the, you know, we're talking about Ezra and Ahsoka here. I really like Ezra's journey. And, you know, and Ahsoka is one of my all-time favorite Star Wars characters. But I think the one thing that they kind of introduced in the tease here, but then they didn't really follow up, is like they have Ahsoka be like Ahsoka the White. She comes back after all this time gone and kind of resume. And they didn't really build on that. They went back to her kind of gray aesthetic in the Ahsoka series, Mandalorian and all that. I kind of wish they had stuck to that, because it was very much a Gandalf mirror there, and I think that would have been cool to follow up on. But yeah, so there's a lot of interesting concepts.
Just,
for a series finale, it's a lot to absorb, and you know, it's both a conclusion, but it's also leaves a lot lingering. But yeah, so it's I mean, you know, I would say I enjoy the earlier seasons a little more, but I still really like the finale. And you know, I mean, I just hope now that, because Ahsoka, that like season one was a lot of setup for things to come, because yeah, I mean, spoiler alert, but like, you know, Ahsoka and Ezra does get freed, but also Thrawn gets freed. They set up the big, you know, return of Thrawn and big battle there, and I think they're still building toward that, but we don't know, and we haven't got as many updates
lately. Yeah.
So I just hope that they are able to tell that story and tell it effectively. So we'll see how that goes. But awesome. Well, Evan, I know these are shorter episodes, but is there anything else you want to say just about, I guess the only other thing I want to say too about like Ezra is, yeah, I mean, like I said, he's very much like the Luke parallel in this series. But it's funny because I watch Screen Crush all the time, and Ryan, the main host on there, he loves Clone Wars, he likes Rebels overall, but he kind of like always hated Ezra as a character, saying like it was just a Luke ripoff. It was kind of hard. But what I find most compelling about Ezra and about Kanan in particular, and this is why like he's my avatar, is like you have these Jedi and what it's like for them to be completely devoid from the Jedi Order. Because even Kanan, yes, he was a Padawan raised in that, but he was not there for long. What I really like about their relationship is, you know, Kanan is having to train a Jedi reluctantly a lot at first, but you know, you get to see what it's like for someone who was never part really of the Jedi Order, who was a kid when Order 66 happened, and now he's trying to figure that out. And when they're detached from the more dogmatic ways of the Jedi, I like seeing that relationship evolve. And I think each of them really do. I don't think they're just an Obi-Wan and Luke parallel. Like they really have their distinct personalities. And I like how their relationship evolves. And I like the actor who plays him in the both in Rebels, but also in the Ahsoka series. And I'm really interested in what they'll do with him there.
Yeah, they did a almost a continuation of what Luke and Yoda taught, you know, or what Yoda taught Luke. And they get kind of blunt with it, like when they bring up the fact that like they don't know what do or do not means. It's like, yeah, Yoda used to say that all the time, but I have no idea what that means, you know. So it was a cool real world example of how the in-universe characters can grow and still learn these same lessons, but in a different way that makes them unique.
No, absolutely. I think Rebels can really be viewed from a different lens. And, you know, I if you're a big fan of the original trilogy and you haven't checked this out, and you definitely check out Clone Wars, check out this. And now check out the new Maul series, because, oh my gosh, it's so good. Only two episodes in, but you know, a lot of great Star Wars out there. But yeah, so that's, you know, a little bit on Star Wars Rebels. I know we could go even much more in depth, but this is, you know, always fun to talk about. And once Ahsoka, the series, comes back, we'll have more to say about that. And yeah, I hope that gets going pretty soon, because I'm really looking forward to seeing how this story continues to play out.
So we'll see. And a Baylan Skull, man, he's one of my favorite characters.
Yes, absolutely. A lot of good characters in this show, and, you know, I mean, I love Zeb, I love Sabine, you know, some of my, but yeah, good stuff. So, awesome. Well, Evan, before we close out, so if you were stuck in a time loop with any of your friends or family members, I want to ask, like, who would you want it to be, and what movie or show would you all be watching on repeat in this scenario? And, like, I had to think about this one, too, because, like, I think when we were doing the Back to the Future one, I was trying to think of a movie, and, like, even some of my favorite movies, I'm like, ugh, even the best ones, like, I don't know if I could watch on repeat all the time, so I'm gonna go with a show for mine. But so my sister is a big Friends fan, and I mean, I like Friends, but, like, I was always more How I Met Your Mother, and I don't think she's ever watched it, so I think I would have my sister in a time loop and show her How I Met Your Mother, and I think she would love it, because, like, but yeah, so that's my, because I mean, they, like, I like Friends, cool, but I think How I Met Your Mother is, like, the next level of that, and it just, like, and that's one of my main comfort shows. I would love it. But Evan, what about you? Who are you going to take, and what are you going to be watching?
I'll probably take my dad so I could learn stuff from him. But what I would watch is probably the Star Wars Episode One documentary called The Beginning. That holds just a special place in my heart. That's, like, my comfort food for movies and stuff. So I will watch that for sure.
Ooh, I like it. That's original. I love it. Yeah. I wasn't sure if you were going to say it with your dad, Thor, because we were talking about that this too. On the MCU episode. That, like, yeah. There you go. Awesome. Sweet. Well, Evan, thanks so much. This was a blast. And yeah, for our, oh, always a pleasure. And yeah, for our listeners out there, hey, you know, rate, review the show, you know, check us out. And I know this one's just on our main feed, but check out our YouTube channel too. And check out the show notes for a whole playlist of this series. That's a good sign to off. But you know, just enjoy the series. And remember, we are all a chosen people, a geekdom of priests.
Thank you all so much for your time listening to this episode. If you want to help sponsor our show, but you can't quite do the membership thing, commit to that once a month payment, good news, you can leave a donation on our Fourth Wall website. You also can get some free content over there. So if you don't have the money for the membership, but you still want to hear some of the extras and bonuses we do over on Fourth Wall, there's an option for that. If you want to support the show without that commitment every month, again, you can donate over there. Every little bit helps. You know, our show has a lot of needs when it comes to equipment, when it comes to going to some of the events we want to go to, advertising, getting the word out about our show. It takes a lot, and we really appreciate each and every person who's able to help us do it, even if it's something free, just like the free membership or leaving a rate and review on our site. Every little bit helps. Your time listening to this helps, and we appreciate all of you. We're so proud of the community we formed over at Systematic Ecology, and we're very happy, and we're proud that you're a part of it. Thank you so much for your time and for being a part of this community.
This show is a proud member of the Onazal Podcast Network. Other shows on the network include Be Living Water, where Joshua Knoll discusses various topics from a Taoist Christian perspective, inviting listeners to imitate Christ and be water, beneficial to all, and a conflict with none. Friday Night Frights, O'Day and Christian Ashley discuss all things frightful, from UFOs to the paranormal to serial killers and more. Kung Fu Pizza Party, where Brandon discusses all things martial arts media, delivering high-flying action and wisdom, one slice at a time, all in under 30 minutes. And my other show, with Christy Whaley, Theology on the Rocks, where two theology PhDs talk about our lives, the world, and theology, all over drinks, clearly. Come on over each week to hear two besties discuss academic nerd stuff while also banter endlessly, especially if wine is involved.